We want to thank all of our Awana workers and staff and parents and everybody who made this Awana Sunday possible. Let's give them all a hand. Well, today we just want to wrap up basically what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks, and it's about God's purpose for the family. And the family is the place where God wants His Word to first be introduced, and the parents are the people that He has chosen to first introduce and continually introduce Him and His Word to their children. And so today we're going to try to make this brief. I probably won't share everything I had originally thought to share. But this series of messages, of course, it's based on Deuteronomy chapter 6, but it's also based on this little book, which was written by Dr. Rob Reinow of Awana Ministries. And they've just really gotten deep into this concept that it needs to be in the home. And we see it all the time. Being a Christian family doesn't guarantee that there's an active family worship going on. And that's something that's been lost, and it needs to be restored. And so we're putting the word out there. And you may feel that you're not qualified, really, to speak of the things of the Lord to your children. Well, guess what? You're the most qualified set of parents in your household. And the Lord wants to use you in order to do this. And just kind of like the Lord was saying to Jeremiah there in that passage that Katie read a while ago, don't say you can't do this. You can do this because I'm going to be with you. And so we want every one of you to have a copy of this book. And we didn't know how many to order, so we have 40 of these downstairs. Now, what we want to do downstairs in the social hall, there's a table. And we want every set of parents to get one of these today. From the church, our compliments, no cost to you whatsoever. We want you to take this little book and read it. Maybe read it as a couple. Read it together. It's just a short little book. But it not only presents to you the importance of your role as parents in communicating the things of the Lord to your children, but it also gives you toward the back, in the back few pages, some real practical tips on how to get started and some of the resources that are out there. And I tell you, there's never been so many resources. Barbara and I were at a book fair at Portsmouth Christian the other day, and there was every kind of little Bible story book and every little kind of thing you could imagine for children starting even from ages 2 or 3. So today, there are all kinds of resources. But even if you can't afford those kinds of things, do you have a Bible in your home? Do you love the Lord Jesus? Can you read 2 or 3 verses with your family and talk about it? Can you ask your family what maybe some of their prayer needs are and then pray for them as a family? Can you do that? If you can do that, then you can have family worship. And it says start, we'll talk about that. Start easy and then build into it. Don't feel like you if you haven't been doing it, then you haven't been doing it. But you have to start somewhere. But it's just so important that this be happening in the home. A lot of times we think, well, that's covered at church. My children are in Sunday school and children's church and Awana. What more do they need? Well, they need that daily. Jesus needs to be evidently, in an evident way, the center of your home. And how can that better be demonstrated than by having a time when mom and dad and the children together, okay, children, now we're going to sing to the Lord. Now we're going to read a little bit of His Word. Now we're going to pray together as a family. That's a lot different than just hearing it at church. And it has a different impact on the hearts of your children. As Dr. Rob Reinow points out, and of course from Scripture, no one is as qualified to impact your child's heart as you are. That teacher down at the school, they can share information and they can love your child, but they can't touch that child's heart like you can as the parents. And that's why it is so important that parents take this responsibility upon themselves and pursue it. Now today, we don't have a responsive reading. In fact, today, I'm just going to read one verse as our text, and that is that well-known passage from Ephesians chapter 6, and verse 4. Shall we stand together in honor of God's Word? And this is what the Word of the Lord says. Fathers, and that would be parents, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. May the Lord bless to our ears and to our hearts the reading of His Word. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You for the seeds that were planted in our hearts early. And we thank You for those of us, Lord, that had that blessing of having a home where it wasn't just church on Sunday and church on Wednesday night, but rather Your name was frequently brought up in conversation in the home, and there were periods of family worship and prayer together. And Lord, I just pray that You will equip our families here in order to do this, and that the worship may get back in the home where it belongs, and that the Lord Jesus Christ may really be in practice the center of our thoughts, of our focus, even in the things we do together as a family, or even primarily as the things in the things that we do together as a family. We want Jesus to be Lord every single day. Every single day in our homes and everywhere we go. And it really does begin in the home. So lay it on the hearts of our parents, I pray today, Lord, and then by extension to the children and the grandchildren. Now take Your Word and use it in our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, and for those of you who like to fill in the blanks, we're going to move very, very quickly today. This is going to be very, very cursory, and you may want to just look back at this later because I don't, this morning, have a lot of time to spend a lot of time on each point. But historically speaking, family worship has always been a tradition in the church, has been practiced in the church, except for certain periods. And the modern period is the period. The last 100 years is when family worship has basically disappeared from the home. But prior to that, it was widely practiced, and all groups of Christians in all times, unless they were just in a formal religion where it was just, you know, you go to church and you do rituals and you do stuff like that. But wherever there have been believers that know about the importance of a personal relationship with the Lord, personally knowing and get acquainted with the Word, taking the principles of God's Word and applying them to our personal lives, that it isn't just something we do on Sunday, in all times and in all places and in all periods, family worship has been an important thing. It was the teaching and practice in the early church. And the Scripture makes it very plain, just as we just read from the Apostle Paul. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. There's no mention here of Awana. There's no mention of Sunday school. There's no mention of children's church. There's no mention even of the Christian school down the street. It says, fathers. Who is that? Whoever that is. Fathers, do not exasperate your children, but do bring them up in the training. What is training? We know what training is. One family in our church was recently doing a little potty training, and it wasn't the easiest thing in the world. And it starts with that kind of training. Training is teaching. It's teaching information, and it's also teaching behavior. Can I hear an amen? And you hear the older folks talk about it. Children aren't taught how to respect elders. They aren't taught how to sit still. They aren't taught. That's training, folks. Pastor Heggie, many of you know who he is. I heard him one time. He said, you can train your dog to do all kinds of stuff. If you can train that dog, you can train your kid. That's putting it very plainly. But raise them in the training. Raise them in the training and in the instruction of the Lord, of the Lord. Where do we learn about the Lord? In the Word. So this is something that happens. One of the Wesley brothers and his wife had 16 children. in a day when there were no microwave ovens or automatic washers. And yet Mrs. Wesley was able to spend 1 hour of one-on-one personal instruction with each of her children every week. So can we really say that we don't have time, that our schedules don't permit, that it's this, that it's that? We have it. We may have to dig for it. We may have to find it. We may have to do like we did with some of these pews this morning. We may have to rope it off a little bit. But it's there, and it's the Lord's instruction to us, parents, raise your children in the training and the instruction of the Lord. So church is wonderful, and we want to support you as a church in what you're doing. And Awana is important, and Children's Church is important, and Sunday School is important. But what's wrong is when we think that that takes the place of what we're supposed to be doing in the home. So this has been practiced. It was believed that worship began in their homes in the early church, and as we know, in the early church, they had no church buildings at all. So it was in the home. Number two, in the times of the Reformation, the church had kind of gotten apostate and gotten away from the original teachings of Scripture. But once the real gospel started being preached again, family worship started reappearing in the Christian families. And with the advent of the printing press, especially, it took off. John Knox, one of the great reformers, wrote, "You must share with your family in reading Scripture, exhorting, and in prayers, which I believe should be done in every house once a day at least." And it was also practiced in colonial times. And I don't have time to read the passage this morning, but Pastor Rob shares with us in his book how that the Puritans required, it was a requirement of membership, that the parents have family worship with their family every week. And if there were any that they found out weren't doing it, they would visit them and encourage them to do it. And if after the proper encouragement they still weren't doing it, they weren't allowed to take communion. Let's move on. Family worship needs to be rediscovered by the modern generation. And we have neglected it. And we have thought that the things that happen down at the church take the place of what we're supposed to be doing in the home. Now, here, just very, very briefly, and believe me, all of this is in the book, so we're just going to move. We're going to give you the book. And by the way, I want to say on that, everybody that has children still at home, if they're teenagers, we want you to have one of these books. And then, after all of you have had grandparents, we would love for you to have one if there's enough to go around. Or if you're a parent and you have a couple of grown children with children, if there are books still left, we want to give them all away. So if you check there toward the end and there's still some books and you've got a son or a daughter that don't attend here but they have children at home, feel free to take one of these because we want to place all 40 of these books today. Principles of Family Worship. And these are from Pastor Rob Reinow, who wrote the book. Number one, he says, family worship is the intersection of a right relationship with God and a right relationship with family. It's the intersection of a right relationship with God and a right relationship with family. When the family comes together to worship, they are worshiping together, they are worshiping the Lord, and then as happens in the church setting as well, there is things that happen. Prayer requests, sharing, maybe sometimes even airing some things out, which needs to happen. But it's where the two come together. And without a family worship time, you don't have that. You don't have that intersection. Number two, family worship is the foundation for worship in the church. That's how we've got to look at this thing. One reason a lot of children can't sit still on Sunday morning and find Sunday morning the weirdest hour of their whole week is because there's no family worship in the home. And then they come down here and all of a sudden they're expected to behave a certain way. Number three, family worship will be a key target of the enemy. You can be sure that anything that you undertake that is going to bring you closer to the Lord and that's going to bring your family closer to the Lord, the enemy is going to attack it. Amen? We know that. So we should just expect that. All kinds of things will go wrong. All kinds of phones will ring and all kinds of people will come to your door and the dogs will be barking and the neighbor will be coming over complaining about your kids and all kinds of things are going to happen. The boss is going to call and say, I really need you to work overtime for the next 90 days. And all kinds of things will happen. So you just have to decide up front, is this something we're going to do or is this something we're going to do? All right. But it's the foundation for worship in church. And our children, if we have this in the home and it becomes a natural part of that setting, then when they come to church, they get more out of it because it's just a natural extension of what they've been learning and doing at home. Number three, family worship, we got that, will be a key target of the enemy. Practicing family worship, and here's just a few practical suggestions which you'll find in more detail in the book. Number one, set a reasonable goal. Now, you all know that I've talked a lot about the car business over the years, and often at the beginning of the month, they would say, how many cars are you going to sell this month? I would rather say I'm going to sell 10 and sell 10 or 12 than to say I'm going to sell 25 and wind up selling 8. So let's be reasonable in our goals. And if you say, well, we haven't been doing this for a long time, so let's start with once a week. That's fine. That's 52 a year. I heard that Chick-fil-A gives 52 coupons to the first 100 people that come in anytime they open a store. That's 52 right there. If it's just one a week, and then you can come to where you're like maybe twice a week or three times a week. I don't think it has to be every single day, but the thing is that it happens every week and that it happens on a regular basis and that the family knows it and expects it and it just becomes part of our family fabric. But set a reasonable goal, whatever's reasonable for you and your family. Oh, and it doesn't have to be an hour. No! A few minutes even, but those few minutes will make a big, big difference over time. They will make a big, big difference in your personal lives and even in your family relationships. Number two, mix it up. And what he means by that is don't do the same thing all the time. One day maybe you can read a couple verses and say, okay, what do you think the Lord is saying? And what do you think, how does that apply? Or what do you think this word out of this verse means? Like a many, you know. And then another time, you might just sing some choruses or sing together. Oh, in some families, that would be so much fun. Especially if you're singing a cappella. But do it. Doesn't the Bible say make a joyful noise unto the Lord? Doesn't it say something like that? And then there are other things that can be done. There are activities and object lessons and different things that can be done as well. So just don't, you know, you don't have to do the same thing every time. Here are some of the things he lists. Reading and responding to the Bible is a... Reading and responding to the Bible. Just reading and, okay, what do you think? B, prayer for one another. Oh, and don't underestimate this one. Prayer for one another. Kids, what are your prayer requests? What's going on at school? What's going on? And this way your children learn, hey, we can actually pray about these things. And as a family, we care about each other. And we pray in our home about Jesus cares about my exam. Jesus cares about what's going on between me and my little friend next door, and we're not getting along real good right now. Jesus cares about the fact that we're a little short for the light bill this month. Jesus cares about these things, and we can pray about these things and see the Lord answer. Can you see how that'll build the faith of your children? It isn't just a foggy religious notion anymore. At that point, that's the most valuable thing, maybe, at the practical level I brought away from the kind of home life that I had. I grew up knowing the Lord cared about me and that He cared about every detail. And He cared about the bills and he cared about all of it. And that's such an important thing. And that can't be taught really from book. You can read it out of the Bible, but the children learn it as we exercise our faith and pray for one another. And who better to be praying for your child than you? And who better to be praying for you than your child? Number C, sing together. Again, it's a great, in the old days, families did get together, you know that, and sang. D, experiences and object lessons, which are explained in more detail in the book. Now, there's a little section, and I don't think there are any blanks in that one. Is that correct? There are no blanks in the section. If you have teenagers, all he says is, you say, well, I haven't been doing it. I have a confession to make. I really haven't, you know, this is something I've neglected, but we're going to start. We're just going to start correcting this. Make it a team effort, because your teens are able to choose a verse and share it with the family. Your teens are able at times to actually, you know, be active participants. So bring them in to the process. And then three, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Because if we're going to do things in the spiritual realm at all, that's one thing I learned a long time ago. If we're going to do them based on whether we're discouraged or not, we will invariably give it up at some point. Am I right? I mean, I don't care what it is. Teaching a Sunday school class or whatever it is. If we're just going to allow ourselves to get, you know, you just do it. You just do it. And over time, it pays off. Persistence. We need that so bad. The winning combination. Here's what it looks like. Number one. Parents are called by God to be the primary spiritual nurturers of their kids. Number two, the church plays a supporting role, encouraging and equipping parents to be what God called them to be. And we're here to do that. We're here to help you, encourage you any way we can. I myself, Bennett, any of our staff, any of our teachers, do you have some ideas? Can you recommend a resource? Is there a website I can visit? This is happening. What can we do? I've tried and it's not going that good. What can we do? We're here to support you in that role. And number three, maximum disciple-making power is achieved when parents and church work in tandem, each fulfilling the role God created for it. And that's the way it is. When we expect the church to do our job, then that's not going to go real well. But when we do what we're supposed to be doing, and the church does what they're supposed to be doing, then we're going to have the maximum result over time of raising a generation that really knows the Lord, that doesn't just know some Bible verses and is able to quote them, doesn't just know the answer that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, but that know what it's like to live for the Lord daily, trust Him, pray about everything, pray with one another, share with one another, and be the family of God. So that's what we are, and it begins in the family. And I just want to encourage you in this direction. Pray about it. Sit down. Mom and Dad can be a discipleship team. Divvy it up. Decide who's going to do what or whatever. And then set a date and start doing it. And even if it's for 10 minutes, just get the family together. Okay, family, we're going to have a little prayer time today. Or we're going to read a verse or two here and talk about it. Or we're going to have a Bible story today. Or whatever it might be. And go from there. But it is so rewarding, and again, it is so powerful. We cannot underestimate the power of this. And That old saying, the family that prays together, a lot of people think that means that attend church once a week together. No, no. The family that prays together in the home regularly and loves the Lord Jesus stays together. So may the Lord bless you. And as grandparents, what can you do? You can encourage your children in these directions and help them get started in fulfilling their role that the Lord designed for them in the home. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you today, and as we look today, we see in microcosm here a number of ways that your word is spread. We see our own Sunday school program and children's church. We see Awana, who has shared with us today. We hear Katie sharing about the missions trip. And so we see different facets and different ways by which your word is communicated. But Lord, the desire of our heart today is to see family worship restored right in the home, and that the Lord Jesus Christ really would be the invisible guest and be a part of every conversation and be sitting there at the table and be an integral part of all that we do. And Lord, I just pray today that you will empower parents in order to take their place in the home, not only as a mom and dad that take care of the house and the clothes and the cooking and getting people where they need to be, but who also become the principal spiritual trainers in their home. And Lord, that you'll equip them both by ability to be able to do it and also to set aside the time necessary to do this on a regular basis with their families each week. We pray for our homes, Lord, and as these things begin to happen and take place, Lord, that we will hear the reports of what you're doing. We already heard today of the effects of an Awana program and the role it played in the life of a child many years ago. And Lord, we look forward to also seeing so many of these that were up here this morning, seeing them grow, seeing them develop and grow up into really godly young men and young women. So Lord, today, search our hearts, and you know our hearts. And whatever may be there, there's a little apathy, a little fear, whatever may be there today, Lord, that we can get rid of that, bring that to you, let you work it out, and that we can then begin to take that place in the home, and that the home would truly become the first place where you are worshiped, loved, and adored every day. We thank you. We give you the praise for hearing our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.